Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, when you're 2.5 weeks away from a presidential election and you're scouring for a bad martini, you know it's been a pretty good week and a pretty good end to the week. That's usually not our problem, just to let folks in on our putting together of the martinis each day. Martini number one, great week for Mitt Romney. We talked earlier in the week how it probably could have been an even better week had he handled a couple questions in the debate better, but he certainly didn't seem to lose any ground. The polls show that he's now up at least in one poll by 3 in Virginia. One poll has him up 4 in Pennsylvania, which, if true, is a huge momentum. He's up 7 as of Thursday in the Gallup tracking poll. And, Jim, the one card that Obama still had in his deck, it seemed like, was the favorability card. Romney's even ahead of him there now, although it's only by 1 point, but considering it was a 2-1 margin earlier this year. You talk about Big Mo, in the words of former President George H.W. Bush. Mitt Romney's got it right now at a very good time.
Not only that, but actually a guy named Big Mo is switching from Obama to Romney. Maurice, he's always had a weight problem, but everybody likes him, and he's jumping on the Romney bandwagon. As I wrote in Morning Jolt this morning, the only poll you could say was going fairly well for Obama was a couple ones released by NBC late last night, the Marist poll. And even today, Chuck Todd, who is not the bad guy who, or I don't think think of as a bad guy the way many conservatives do, and it has nothing to do with the fact that he has me on his show periodically, they weighted that for early voting. And I think they had in their sample something like 34-35% folks had said they'd voted early. Folks in the Romney campaign went and looked at how many ballots had been returned and said, if that's true, then turnout is going to be half of what it was in 2008, which, you know, even though you might expect some drop-off, the idea of, you know, only 50% of the voters from 2008 showing up this year is pretty unlikely. The best explanation of the NBC folks is, well, when you ask somebody have they voted already, they may think of it if they've requested an absentee ballot. Have they filled out their absentee ballot? Have they mailed their absentee ballot? You know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's reached the election officials in Iowa yet. Bottom line being, it's kind of a slightly sketchy poll. I don't think it's necessarily a deliberate on the part of NBC. I think they just overestimated how many people have early voted in their numbers. And they found that amongst the people who said they hadn't voted yet, Romney was leading pretty solidly. David Yepsen, who's the longtime veteran of covering races in Iowa, says, look, this race is going to be really close. Romney's closing fast. He thinks Obama's got a small lead right now based on those early votes. But it's going to come down to, you know, whichever campaign can bring out the last ones. And he thinks it's going to come down to, you know, probably a percentage point in Iowa. The important thing of every one of these polls, and almost every one of them, is the direction. The Obama campaign was saying, well, look, in you know, 10 of the 11 swing state polls released yesterday, we were up in them. And, you know, yeah, but like eight or nine of them had movement towards Romney, and he was only down, you know, by 1 or 2 percentage points. The other big factor to keep in mind when you look at all these things is that all over the map, Obama is between about 45 and 49. And for an incumbent, that's a really tough spot to be, particularly if you're at 47 and below. The joke was that 47% was going to be the most memorable number from this campaign because of the Romney comments. But you really think about it, the Suffolk pollster had said any state in which Obama is at 47 or below, he's near doomed. He says it's really tough to imagine an incumbent president getting back those 3 percentage points to come out with a majority. You look at that, if that really is a good assessment, and it makes a lot of sense to me, Obama is in trouble all over the map. The Romney campaign just keep the pedal down to the pedal to the metal and keep pulling all out. A whole bunch of these states are probably going to come down to the get out the vote effort in each one of them. Iowa, probably Pennsylvania. Ohio, it sounds like it's closing, but I don't know if you'd say this is in Romney's pile yet. The Electoral College map is looking increasingly friendly to Romney, but I don't know if he's there yet. And so if you're a volunteer out there, you know, don't take the weekend off. Don't let up. Get out there and vote. I did it yesterday.
There you go. So very important point that if you just remember how bleak this looked about a month ago or even less than that, from our perspective, there's still 2.5 weeks left in this campaign. So don't think that it's over yet just because momentum is in Mitt Romney's favor and hopefully for GOP candidates down the ticket. Keep pressing forward and keep staying on message and hopefully a good last debate on Monday. But on to martini number two now, Jim. And the president was in New York City yesterday. He and Mitt Romney were both at the Al Smith dinner. That's not our martini. Before he went to the Al Smith dinner, he was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, who is made no secret about the fact that he badly wants Obama to win this election. But you got to give John Stewart credit. He actually gave a pretty serious interview to the president. They covered a lot of different topics, and he challenged him on a number of things, including the situation at the Benghazi consulate back on September 11th. Here's the exchange that's getting a lot of attention here on Friday.
I would say even you would admit it was not the optimal response, at least to the American people, as far as us all being on the same page.
Well, here's what I'll say.
Yeah.
If four Americans get killed, it's not optimal.
Right.
And we're going to fix it.
Right.
And all of it. All of it. And what happens during the course of a presidency is that, you know, the government is a big operation. Uh-huh. At any given time, something screws up.
Now, Jim, on some of the conservative sites, they had that quote with a picture of Stewart and Obama yucking it up. They obviously weren't yucking it up at that point in the conversation. But it's interesting that Stewart's talking about the messaging, blaming the video, when clearly now it's clearer and clearer that that was never the case. And Obama's used the optimal word, which wasn't optimal in that situation for him politically, to once again distract from the topic at hand.
Even though, you know, he's only using John Stewart's word back to him, it's just strange and off-key to hear a president saying it that way. One of the things that's kind of fascinating about this is that John Stewart, who, you know, is a pretty darn funny guy, when he did a fairly solid piece hitting the administration for the Benghazi thing, the whole tone was, you know, he was pointing out the reports that, that you know, the State Department and CIA were saying it was a terror attack early on. And Obama's out there saying it's the YouTube video. And Susan Rice is out there saying it's a YouTube video. And his whole joke was, don't you guys talk to each other? You know, and it was kind of like it was this, you know, bureaucratic snafu. Oh, you know, one office didn't talk to the other office. A paperwork issue. They needed a binder, Greg. You know? and the view of a lot of conservatives is not that this was some innocent mistake or, you know, offices not talking to each other. We think this is, as you know, the president got very indignant about in that last debate. We think this was a deliberate effort to mislead the American public. We think that the truth that this is an Al-Qaeda, you know, affiliate attack on U.S. Facility in Libya, in a country that we had militarily intervened to help overthrow the regime, was a very embarrassing story for the administration. It made the Libya intervention look very questionable, and it made it look like we had been asleep at the switch and not paying attention to a gathering threat. You know, Obama had just spent, you know, a couple of days in Charlotte talking about how much Al-Qaeda was, you know, bin Laden's dead and Al-Qaeda's on its heels and all that stuff. You know, they turn around and kill an ambassador the next day or a couple of days later. It, you know, that looks terrible for the president. So we think this was a deliberate effort to spin, to mislead the public and say, ah, you know, it was a YouTube video. This Yahoo makes this video. And what are you going to do? The mob shows up. When in fact, we think it was, you know, this was not an accident. And the entire line of questioning from Stewart is, even if it was an innocent mistake, why was this innocent mistake made? And Obama's response is still, well, we're going to take care of this. By the way, I love the comment there, Greg. You notice he says, look, there's always something going wrong in government. Says the man who's the party of big government. You know, hey, just wait till they handle our health care, huh? That sounds awesome. No. Oh, Mr. Garrity, I'm sorry. This MRA said you had your left knee need to be severed instead of the right knee. You know, bureaucratic snafus. What are you going to do? You know, that's not the tone I like to hear from my president. You know, it's kind of the same reaction to Fast and Furious, GSA. Somebody had a nice op-ed in the New York Post yesterday about the words, I take responsibility, and then nothing happening after that.
Was that yours?
Yes. I'm a big fan of my own work, Greg.
Hey, we'll plug it anytime we can. The president, of course, doesn't like to talk about Benghazi, but, you know, what could possibly provide some relief from the attention on that? Well, perhaps what always does. Joe Biden, the vice president, making clear that we should be very worried about the fact that he is, at least for the moment, a heartbeat away from the presidency. He was at a campaign event in Nevada yesterday, one of the four firewall states. And he gave us two whoppers in the very same appearance. So we appreciate the vice president giving us two for the price of one yesterday. First of all, here's what he has to say about Paul Ryan and his colleagues being part of the Young Guns operation, which is designed to recruit young Republican conservative candidates to Congress.
Ryan has written a book called The Young Guns with two other fellows, members of the House. No, these are the Republican leaders in the House. You had... Unfortunately, the bullets are aimed at you.
The comment from the side was a gun with no bullets. And so Joe Biden in the state neighboring the state that has Tucson, once again says the bullets are aimed at you. So congratulations on staying with the new tone in politics. And here is one that if anybody on the Republican side said this, certainly Sarah Palin or even anybody on the current Republican ticket would be fodder for cable news and comedians for weeks. Here's Joe Biden with his attempted tribute to those who served in the war on terror.
How many of you know someone who served in Iraq or Iran? How many of you, how many of you know someone who has been injured or lost in Iraq and Iran?
I think many people, of course, know someone who served in Iraq, Jim, but the vice president giving us all a little bit of a tip of the hand there that apparently we've been fighting in Iran all this time, too.
Let's presume he meant Afghanistan.
I'm sure
he did. Let's presume he's not revealing some secret classified, you know, commando missions behind enemy lines or in Iran. A left-of-center friend of mine could not believe that some folks were wondering if Joe Biden was losing it, that he had dementia or Alzheimer's or something. I'm fascinated that other people are surprised by it. And it's not so much, I mean, everybody makes these little flubs and gaffes or something like that. But what's interesting is that he did it twice in that little one. That he, you know, and the interesting thing is when he says it, you notice nobody like Afghanistan. You know, there's no effort to, you know, everyone just kind of nods and smiles and claps. Like it's totally normal for the vice president of the United States to say we have military forces in Iran. It reminds me of what strikes me as one of the all-time egregious Biden statements coming in the debate with Sarah Palin, where he said that the U.S. and France had joined forces to kick Hezbollah out of Lebanon, which maybe he read it in a novel somewhere. It has not happened in this reality. Maybe he has stepped, you know, Joe Biden stepped through some wormhole to an alternate universe in which that occurred. But no, that, you know, it's not so much that Joe Biden forgets things as he remembers things that didn't happen. And I'm not sure which one is worse. It's also very interesting that both Romney and Obama made Biden jokes at last night's Al Smith dinner. And I liked, you know, Romney's one that he really hoped that Vice President Biden would be there that evening because, as he said, he'll laugh at anything, as demonstrated in the vice presidential debate. And then he said, look, you know, it's now there are rules to this. And now the Federal Election Commission has decided that every time Joe Biden appears on the screen, after every statement, he has to say, you know, there has to be this disclaimer at the bottom. I'm Mitt Romney and I approve this message. So clearly Joe Biden doing his part for the Romney 2012 effort.
Yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, everybody misstates things. I'm sure he doesn't actually believe we have troops in Iran, but the fact that he makes these misstatements and crazy statements all the time, Jim, you could fill a binder with them.
Probably need like a shelf full of them. Plenty of. I imagine whichever guy at the RNC's job is to be the Biden gaffe tracker has probably just wait until election day. He desperately needs that vacation.
So. Yeah, no lack of job security for that guy. Absolutely, Jim. Have a fabulous weekend. I hope the news is as good on Monday. We'll talk to you then.
Yep, sounds good. We'll see you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.